You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
You may be surprised to learn that France has the third largest Jewish population in the world behind the United States and Israel. Also surprising is that little has been written about what Jews in France are eating and what kind of impact they've had on French cuisine. But that's where Jewish food expert and James Beard Award winner Joan Nathan comes in. She's uncovered the secrets of what French Jews enjoy, from onion quiche to tarte flambé. She has written extensively on food over the years. She's been the host of the PBS series Jewish Cooking in America with Joan Nathan. And this latest book is called Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous, My Search for Jewish Cooking in France. It's published by Knopf. I'm very pleased that it brings her back to our show. Hi, Joan.
Hi. It's very nice to be here.
Now, you've written about American and Israeli food, but what got you thinking about Jewish food in France?
Well, I guess I started thinking about it a long time ago, not realizing, before I even thought about food as a subject to write about. When I was 17, my father sent me to France. He felt that a girl should learn a foreign language, and he was from Germany, came to the United States in 1929. And his relatives, who were from Germany, fled to France. So I stayed with them in Annecy, which is a beautiful town near Geneva, and I started eating. And I remember this one meal I had at their house where the first time that I sat down with them, and we had all these wonderful hors d'oeuvres variés and celery root remoulade, and it was just an amazing meal. And I had all these appetizers, and I ate all of them, of course, and a lot. And then the soup came out, and the stuffed veal came out, and the dessert came out, and I realized I'm in heaven. So I started thinking about French food. I never thought Jewish. And even when I spent my junior year abroad, no Jewish. And I think I had to go through everything else to come back to the food of the Jews of France.
Well, you did look out. Going to Annecy, that's near Burgundy, isn't it? And it's where Claire's Knee, if I remember, was filmed.
Very good, Leonard. Absolutely. It's beautiful.
But aren't most of the Jews in France in Paris?
Half of the Jews of France are in Paris. But because it's a history, 2,000-year-old history from Jerusalem, when they went from Jerusalem, the destruction of the Second Temple, to Rome, then they came to Catalonia, which was Spain. They also came to Provence, which is France, and also northern Italy. So there are Jews everywhere in France today.
Well, you write that the biggest impediment to talking about Jewish cooking is that Jewish food is mostly diasporic.
Well,
you're talking about people coming from the Eastern Europe and the from Spain and from North Africa. The only thing they have in common is that they're Jewish.
Well, yes and no, because first of all, the dietary laws, even if you do not follow the dietary laws, they're in the back of your head, imprinted somewhere. And so that's one thing that makes it Jewish. Then, of course, where they're from is very important to what cooking they do. And where they live is another, I mean, for all of us. And the traditional foods are the foods that come out for holidays and the Sabbath. So that some traditional foods of the Jews of France that have lived there, maybe their families, for 2,000 years, come out in different ways. For example, Jews that lived in Alsace always made for Shabbat and also for the Jewish holidays, either a carpe à la juive, which had a parsley sauce, or a sweet and sour sauce. Well, in Taiwan, 14th century, I was reading about this parsley sauce and the sweet and sour sauce, which is no longer used in France, but it still is used by the Jews of France because it's an old recipe and one that is repeated for holidays. So that's where you find –
this is because of tradition.
You have to dig to find the recipes, and you also have to dig for people to talk about being Jewish.
Well, it's interesting that your subtitle – or your title is Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous, because quiches I associate with France.
Right.
Kugels I associate with Germany or Eastern Europe. And couscous I associate with North Africa.
Well, quiche I did because it is quintessentially French, but Jewish quiche doesn't have lardon or ham in it, okay? So the onion quiche that you would have has no ham in it. Kugel, because kugel is a German word, And it started in Alsace, which was originally called Ashkenaz. And that's where Ashkenazic food began, in this valley between France and Germany. So kugel, which means round, used to be in a clay pot, really, upside down flower pot, looked like, that it was a sort of a bread pudding next to the hot, like the cholent, but for their cholent would have been a pot au feu in the fire for the Sabbath meal. It was a second dish. And of course, these were poor people, so they'd have a kind of bread pudding. But what they did was, it's fabulous. I have the recipe in my book. They'd saute some onions and put pears in it. And then they'd serve it with a fruit compote. It's wonderful. So I thought kugel, because that's where all the Jews from Alsace lived. And before the revolution, there were 150 villages in Alsace where there were Jews living. And most of them after the revolution, when Jews could live wherever they wanted to, went to Paris. And couscous, because after 1959, 1960, 1961, when Morocco, Tunisia, and Algeria were independent, about 100,000 Jews from North Africa came to Paris. Today, there are about 250, which is almost half the population of the Jews of France. And they have couscous for Shabbat. And so I thought, quiche, kugel, and couscous, why not?
Well, there is also, you go to a store now and there are separate couscouses that are called Israeli couscouses.
Right. That's
it's a different
couscous.
Bead.
That's a really interesting breed, because after the independence of Israel, Ben-Gurion realized that there was no couscous for all these Jews coming from North Africa. So he asked Osem, this Czechoslovakian noodle company, to create a noodle that looked like couscous, which they called Ben-Gurion couscous. And that's where it began.
My guest is Joan Nathan, whose latest book is Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous, My Search for Jewish Cooking in France. It's published by Knopf. And you say that when you ask people, French Jews, about Jewish cooking, they said that they didn't know of any Jewish dishes.
Right. Some of them did. Some of them wouldn't really talk to me. Others found dishes that they had been using in their family for so many generations, and they just thought they were familiar, that they were not necessarily Jewish, even though they were practicing Jews. So, and they also didn't know, for example, that the Jews brought chocolate to France. The Jews from the Southwest brought it after the Inquisition as a drink, not as a candy.
Because it had come to Spain
when
they conquered Mesoamerica.
Right. And also after that, many of them went to the New World and learned about all these dishes and these ingredients, like tomatoes and peppers, potatoes, and chocolate. And so they brought that to France. And the Jews became the best chocolate makers. So, you find different kinds of challah, for example, which is a cousin of the brioche. And in fact, when I went to synagogue, where there was a challah, I could hear all these people saying, oh, what a beautiful brioche.
Mm-hmm. You write that Jewishness of the Jews in France is somewhat hidden. What do you mean? Is this a legacy from what happened during the German occupation during World War II?
I think it's a legacy of the history of the Jews of France and the history of the Jews of Europe, really.
But Jews have been prominent in French history in a way that they haven't been in many other European countries.
Absolutely.
For example, Léon Blum was the prime minister before World War II, and then Mendes France was prime minister afterward, both Jewish. On the other hand, there was very virulent anti-Semitism in France before and during the occupation.
Well, I think that the French in general are much more reserved than Americans. And I think that the Jews in particular, because of the Holocaust, because of the Dreyfus Affair, because of expulsions through the centuries, have just been a lot quieter. But that's the way the French are too.
The French have embraced the cuisines of other countries as well. What we think of as French cuisine has a lot of Italian influences, a lot of Spanish influences. What about Jewish influences?
Well, I think the Jewish influences are more in what ingredients were brought to France by the Jews. For example, the Jews brought carp to France from China. They brought spices from India. They brought they brought chocolate. But then there, as I said, brioche is a cousin. Chopped liver is a form of pâté. So that what they did was they would adjust recipes to Jewishness. They also, like matzo balls, little dumplings, they brought them. They're not big matzo balls the way we had it, but little matzo balls. And I remember that when I was at a dinner where somebody was making pot-au-feu and tiny little matzo balls, all the French were so excited to eat these, where in America you would never think that that was something very special. So, but it's sort of and a lot of the old Jewish recipes, I'll give you an example, fougas. Fougas was the challah in the Middle Ages. So what's first, fougas for the French or for the Jews? I don't know. I think it's all lost in history. They might have been simultaneous, one ad-libbed from the other. But, you know, people had common markets way back when in France, so that, and also common ovens, public ovens. So you'd go to an oven and you'd see what your neighbors were bringing to the oven. And so recipes traveled. You know, eggplant dishes are really considered Jewish in France, for example.
Although not anymore. This is like artichokes in Italy.
Right, exactly. Way back. And you know, even artichokes in Italy, I'm not sure they're Jewish, actually, the artichoke a la Judea. If you go to Spain, you see those in every marketplace. So it's really hard to pinpoint historically.
You point out that recipes were handed down before the 20th century through handwritten cookbooks that went from mother to daughter. Do any of those still exist?
Oh, lots. And lots of – I'll give you an example of a recipe that I think is quite wonderful. It's a Jewish apple cake. Now, we know it as a recipe that I found in Christian cookbooks in the United States where it had oil instead of butter. And my husband's family brought it from Poland to the United States. But in America, we have more flour, more sugar than what they have in France. So France, the same recipe came from Poland to France. And it's the way that they start the recipe is you taste the apple. And then there might be some almond extract in it and ground almonds. It just has that French touch to it that we just don't have in the recipes that we have in America.
Do they have anyone like Joe Nathan putting together a French cuisine for Jews?
I don't think they really do. I don't think they understand what's right there. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, and there is there's so much, and there's so many old recipes that that's why I had such a good time.
Well, what would a typical Sabbath meal be like in France?
It depends on the family.
They come from originally?
Right. And what's interesting is the North African Jews are marrying Ashkenazic Jews, and the North African food is winning all the time. So, you know, a North African Shabbos dinner would have at least 15 salads first, cooked salads, with, you know, things like olives and always an eggplant salad. You always have to have an eggplant salad. There's a wonderful salade juive, which is cooked down tomatoes, that's so delicious. And then there'd be couscous.
Does this apply to the Seder as well?
It depends on who's cooking. Yeah, the Seders that I went to were French Jewish. And I remember when I first went to a Seder when I was very, very young, and we had haroset. And I thought, wait a minute, this isn't my mother's haroset. It was apples and nuts, but it was a little bit finer ground than my mother's. And you always think of Shabbos or the holidays, your mother's food. And when it's a little bit different, the matzo balls were broken matzah. And they had ginger and nutmeg in them, which is sort of like what I have, but this was Alsatian. And even Friday night when I was living there, it's not this way anymore, we'd have two baguettes as the challah. Today they have all kinds of challah, and wonderful challah with anise in it and from North Africa, and less sweet because everything's less sweet in France.
A listener asks about quiches, points out that, of course, you can't have any meat in something right. That has cheese. But do they have any meat quiches without cheese?
Not that I know of.
By the way, we have a number of recipes from your book on our show page so people can get a sense of what we're talking about. The Alsatian pear kugel with prunes.
Oh, my favorite recipe in the book. Good.
Moroccan chicken with olives and preserved lemons.
Yum.
And lots more. all from Joan Nathan's latest book, which includes 200 recipes and their stories. It's called Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous, My Search for Jewish Cooking in France, published by Knopf. And we should point out it also has pictures in it, which is always important because you do want to have a sense of where the food is coming from and what the food should look like. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you for having me.